Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. We're 4 days away from another Eagles game. Eagles and 49ers. 1 o'clock Sunday at the Lincoln, of course, right here on WIP. And still a lot of conversation, and rightfully so, based on what we saw last Sunday, because that was a thrilling victory. And really, in the end, a pretty easy one. I mean, let's put it this way. They won going away. And for more on that game, and as we look ahead to the next game as well, he's going to be with us, one of our great guests, every single Wednesday at the start of the 11 o'clock hour, Shiel Kapadia, who, of course, you can follow his work at Shiel Kapadia on Twitter, and he joins us to talk Eagles football. What's up, Shiel?
The season already has more juice than I thought it was going to have. I mean, it's always fun to start with a victory like that sort of resets your expectations,
yeah.
Resets what you thought about the team. So, fun start for the Eagles.
Shiel, amazing, and certainly I think better than even the most optimistic person could have thought. A lot of ways to go here, Shiel. Let's start with the quarterback, Jalen Hurts. We all saw what we saw with the simple passes and the scrambling. One thing I haven't figured out yet, I'm curious if you have a sense of this yet, is he doing a good job balancing when to run and when not to run as it pertains to keeping his eyes down the field and opportunity for receivers? I mean, we know he very successfully extended some plays, including the Goddard touchdown, but young quarterbacks often struggle with sort of the balancing act. I think the two masters in football history are Russell Wilson and Steve Young, with the capabilities to run but knowing to keep their eyes downfield. How do you think Hurts is at this stage in his development with that issue?
Yeah, I thought he did a very good job of that. Now, there might be weeks, obviously, where the pass rush is going to get to you more, and that could certainly be a factor. So this is just a one-game sample. And listen, even with Russell Wilson, when I was covering the Seahawks out there, I mean, there were weeks where, people would question, hey, did he leave the pocket too early? So, like, with every quarterback who has the ability to extend plays, to run, that's going to be a question that comes up. I didn't see it as an issue. Or were there a couple plays where you look at it and say, all right, maybe he could have hung in there? Yeah, absolutely. But I really liked how decisive he was as a runner. And he's like not frenetic. He's not like scrambling around side to side. It's, hey, decisive, go, pick up your yards, get out of bounds, take the right angle, slide, avoid big hits. I thought he did a really good job of that.
Shiel, will teams be able to look at this film and neutralize the dink and dunk stuff?
Yeah, I don't think this is what the Eagles are going to be every week. That style of play is probably not sustainable, but I thought it was brilliant game planning for the first game of the season. You're starting a new season. You want to get your quarterback some layups. I think they started with three straight RPOs. I mean, Jalen Hurts' average pass went under 4 yards past the line of scrimmage. I mean, that was
shortest
by far the shortest
of any quarterback, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So, you can't play like that every week. No, you're going to have weeks where you have to push the ball downfield more, where you're going to have to take more chances, and I think they will do that. So this is just, this is the advantage you have with a new coaching staff, a new play caller. His opponents come in and they say, all right, we're not quite sure what they're going to do. So I think that will be, certainly a part of it, but there are going to be weeks where you're not going to hold the opponent to 6 points, and really starting with this Sunday against the 49ers, where you are going to have to push the ball downfield a little bit more.
We all assume that Jalen Hurts gave himself more job security with this performance, but what was the biggest difference that you saw? Jalen Hurts last season compared to Jalen Hurts in his debut with Nick Sirianni?
Well, I think the big thing was ball security. Last year he fumbled. I think he had 9 fumbles and he only played 30% of the snaps. So, if you do that, you're not going to have a job for very long. And then, to be honest, I thought the coaching staff really put him much more in position to succeed, and the offensive line was certainly better. We talked about the short stuff, the RPOs, but even simple things like that touchdown to Devontae Smith you know, they had a sense they were getting man coverage. He knew right to do what to do if he's getting man coverage. Tremendous pick play, tremendous execution by Zach Ertz there, not getting a flag there. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts makes a nice throw, putting it right where Devontae Smith can stay inbound for that fade from the slot there. And so, you know, a lot of it to me was about putting Hurts in position to succeed, him making good decisions, and him not turning the ball over.
How about Jalen Reagor? How well did he play?
Well, you know, he did a, you know, I thought he did a fine job. I'm not going to go over the top. You know, he got open. He made the most of his opportunities. I think he caught all six targets that he had. Certainly that wide receiver screen. You can kind of see that when he has a little bit of space, he can really accelerate there. And that was certainly well executed. The Mailata block, unbelievable. Everybody's talked about it this week. But that is just a highlight level play for a man that size. So, you know, I would say encouraging. And let's see some more with Jalen
Reagor. Let's go to Mailata, Shiel. Does he have a chance, in your opinion, in the next, you know, 3 years to be the best left tackle in football? Does he have that capability?
It sounds crazy to say, but yes, I mean, he does. If you're asking if there's a chance, is that a possibility? Is his ceiling that high? The answer absolutely is yes, because, you know, his size, his athleticism, what he's done from not having played football ever before to where he is now, to, you know, our expectations for him to be a quality left tackle, certainly that's within the realm of possibilities. And that's why I thought the contract the Eagles signed with him was a smart, you know, if you want to term it a gamble or whatever, to take. Because if you look at it on the open market, when left tackles his age get to the open market, they don't really have to be that good to get monster paydays. I mean, if you're a competent...
Yeah, Big V, I mean, Big V got $50 million.
Exactly. And yeah, and they played him at right tackle. If you're a left tackle and you're younger and you have the upside of Mailata, like, he was looking at a bigger contract if he hit the open market. Trent Williams is, I think, 33 years old. He got $23 million a year last offseason. And so that's why I thought it was a smart gamble to take for the Eagles. Because even if Mailata doesn't reach that ceiling, if he's competent, if he's quality, you're actually getting a pretty good deal there.
I'm worried that the staff is going 12 personnel out of a sense of obligation to Zach Ertz, not because it's the best choice for this offense. How well did Zach Ertz play?
Yeah, you know, he was fine. He got injured there. You know, he had the one catch down the sideline where Jalen Hurts underthrew him a little bit, or that could have been an even bigger play. You know, I'm kind of with you there, John. You know, I think if you're a defensive coordinator and the opponent's lining up in 12 personnel and getting a little bit slower, you say, okay, go ahead. I'm not really worried about that. So they were in three wide receiver sets. I think it was 55, 60% of the time, which is just about league average. So I think there's room there for them to expand that and play with three wide receivers even a little bit more going forward.
Ertz had 58% of the snaps and Quez had 48% of the snaps. And I just feel like it's a loss when it's, certainly a run play with Zach on the field.
Yeah, you know, you don't want him in there for his blocking. There's no doubt about that. You know, he just tries to kind of survive as a blocker. Yeah. I think situationally, red zone, third down, he can still help you out as a pass catcher. But yeah, they're going to, you know, it was one game. They're going to have to try to figure out ways that, you know, how to best use their personnel based on kind of how the game is going.
Shiel Kapadia with us, as he will be every Wednesday. Start at the 11 o'clock hour, breaking down the last game, looking ahead to the next one. Shiel, one of the things that was a little tricky for me to get a sense of watching the game on Sunday was the effectiveness of the linebackers. I saw Eric Wilson struggle. Eagles did something they probably haven't done in 100 years, which is play six linebackers in a game. I couldn't believe it. Could you get a feel of which of these guys played well and which of these guys are alarming?
No, I think Eric Wilson missed some tackles on some of those big runs early. That's one of the things that certainly stood out there. Jannard Avery, you know, the role they've sort of carved out for him as this Sam linebacker who's playing up at the line of scrimmage. I mean, if you look at it, they were playing with three down linemen, and then they had an edge defender standing up on one side and then Avery standing up on the other side. So that certainly is a wrinkle that we have not seen in previous years. To me, it felt a little bit forced. You know, I don't think that it really gave them anything. I think it's sort of something that Jonathan Gannon probably wants to do, but I don't know that he has the personnel to do it. So, you know, along with the linebackers, I mean, the entire defense, this was one of the most interesting things I saw, is that they played, what, 17 guys or something on defense? I mean, they were rotating in and out, defensive line, linebackers, and even some of the defensive backs. So, you know, that's certainly something that you don't see a lot of teams do to the extent that they did in that game.
Were we fortunate that the Falcons turned away from the run game in the second half?
Well, you know, I think some of the early runs, you know, the Falcons schemed it up well. I think Jonathan Gannon even said there were some unscouted looks there. I think it is going to take some time for this defensive line to learn the technique they want to use there up front with the run game. So I don't think they were fortunate. I mean, I think the Eagles kind of, you know, got their bearings a little bit. But what was really interesting is the philosophy in terms of not letting the opponent run, but sort of daring them to run. I mean, if you look at this, the Eagles played split safety looks in this game, probably more, you know, two deep, probably more than they did, I think, in any game under Jim Schwartz. And this is sort of a new wrinkle that we're seeing take hold across the NFL, where some of these new school defensive coordinators are saying, you know what, if we give up 5 yards per carry and they want to string together a 9-play drive where they're running the football down our throats, we don't want that to happen, but we're going to be able to live with that, because you know what's going to kill us is if we give up explosive plays in the passing game. And that's really the philosophy we saw Jonathan Gannon employ here. You know, the Eagles were the only defense in the league that did not allow a single play of 20 yards or more in week one. And so that philosophy really worked in their favor. It's something that, you know, could be frustrating for fans to watch at times, but overall, I think it's the right philosophy with how to play in 2021. So that was a huge storyline to me that came out of week one for the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. I was surprised to see that Fletcher Cox was blanked on the stat sheet. Is that indicative of the way that he played, or just bad luck? How good was he?
That is indicative of the Falcons' focus on him. I mean, if you watch every Javon Hargrave, Hassan Ridgeway pressure, sack hit, watch where the protection is sliding. And Fletcher Cox is being double-teamed. The center went to his side time and time and time again. And really what that shows you is the respect the Falcons had for him, because they were putting a rookie, Jalen Mayfield, their left guard, one-on-one with whoever the Eagles' other defensive tackle was. Mm-hmm. And Javon Hargrave, of course, had a phenomenal game. Hassan Ridgeway came on strong in the end. So, yeah, I think Fletcher Cox, his impact, he certainly had an impact on that game, even though it didn't show up there in the stat sheet.
All right, Shiel, Eagles San Francisco. It's going to be the first time we have a packed crowd since that game Carson got knocked out of versus Seattle in the playoffs 2 years ago. Eagles San Fran, how good is San Francisco? What kind of challenge are they?
You know, they're certainly a good team. I don't know that they're a great team yet. You know, they had a big change on the defensive side with Robert Saleh going to the Jets, and now D'Amico Ryans is their defensive coordinator. They have big questions at cornerback. Jason Verrett, their starting corner, is out for the season, and they were already pretty thin at corner. So that's certainly an area where you can attack them. You know, I wasn't really that impressed with their defense in week one. It's a, you know, it was pretty vanilla, where you're rushing with four down linemen. You're not blitzing a lot. You're playing a lot of zone coverage. So, you know, I think you can certainly attack them defensively. And then offensively, we know what they want to do. They want to run the football, play action, and attack the middle of the field. I mean, that is the Kyle Shanahan playbook, where you got guys like Debo Samuel, George Kittle on those intermediate routes. So I think if the Eagles are going to win this game, and really, guys, we could say this every week, they're going to have to dominate the line of scrimmage, and I do think they have advantages on both sides of the ball there. And so it is going to be a good measuring stick game. A lot of people around the league think that 49ers team could contend for a Super Bowl. And, you know, I certainly picked them to win 10 games and make the playoffs. So, like, week one was a nice taste. You're not sure how good the Falcons are going to be. This is going to be different. I'm excited to see how the Eagles match up to these guys.
Shiel, great work, man. Great stuff. At Shiel Kapati on Twitter for everyone to follow. Shiel, as always, with us every Wednesday and one of the absolute best in the business. Shiel, thanks so much, bud.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, man. Hey, coming up, a question that frankly has to be asked. We haven't yet revisited it. We'll do it next. Something related to the Eagles game Sunday we haven't even touched on yet. Imagine that. We'll hit that. We'll rock all the calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, right here on 94 WIP. Hey, biggest game, well, this weekend for us, obviously, is the game right here in Philly. But one of the bigger national games is the Chiefs and Ravens. And FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is about to make it even bigger, because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the weekend right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. It is, quite simply, an unbelievable opportunity there for you with FanDuel Sportsbook. Why? Because you bet $5, you pick the team, and then if you get it right, you win $150. I mean, who puts a deal like that together? Well, FanDuel Sportsbook does for you. And you can sign up with FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code HAMMER. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94WIP. They are sports betting made simple. Always hooking you up like this with great offers. Plus, when you win, they get you paid fast. Your winnings in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up using promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER to bet the Chiefs and the Ravens, where you could bet five to win 150. Or, of course, you can look into all the other games for Pro Football Week 2 as well. All of it with promo code HAMMER exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.